You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
This edition of It's My Money is brought to you by Brenthurst Wealth, your partner for global wealth creation. Welcome to It's My Money. It's My Money is brought to you by Brenthurst Wealth, South Africa's multi-award-winning boutique wealth manager. I received a piece from the desk of Ruan Brid from Brenthurst in Stellenbosch, and it says the following, or the headline does anyway: are benchmarks still relevant? When I think of benchmarks, I think of things like the FTSE 100 in London. I think of the JSE. I think of the NASDAQ. And if you look at the NASDAQ, for example, last year, it had a really, really good year, and it's had a terrific 2026 as well. But is that representative of the whole of the NASDAQ, or is it because of a few stocks, in other words, a few concentrations of stocks? And Ruan, I think that's why you wrote this article, because benchmarks can occasionally become a bit confusing, even misleading.
Yes, thank you, Lindsay. That's 100% right. I think over the last few years to a decade or more, passive investing has become the talk of the town and something that everybody's run after. And obviously, for good reason. There's a lot of points to be made for passive investing as opposed to active managers. But I do think there's also a few caveats to be aware of, especially when it comes to market flows and momentum and those kind of things, which a lot of people seems to be unaware of. And that can have a major impact on market returns and portfolio drawdowns as well. So it's, I think it's more than meets the eye than just cheap alternatives comparing passives to actives and chasing the cheaper solution. I don't think cheaper is always better, as they say.
Yeah, you talk about the concentration problem, which is what I was talking about in my introduction. It really has become quite rarefied in recent months. And indeed, as I said, post-Liberation Day, which I think was April last year, it has become a problem. And it's a problem for portfolio managers. You work with portfolio managers at Brenthurst all the time. And people can, as you say in your article, get hired and fired basis their performance versus a benchmark. So it's terribly important.
Yes, that's right, Lindsay, 100%. And I think benchmarks have also become a the norm, and that's sort of the golden line where certain active managers are hired and fired against. And I would say the important thing to consider is that you actually do not necessarily in some cases want to perform in line, or I would say above the benchmark, because that means normally the benchmarks are some of the major indexes in the world investment spectrum. But if you measure your own personal portfolio, which is supposed to be diversified in a very specific way, and you measure the performance of that portfolio against the JSE or the NASDAQ or the S&P 500, and you start to throw your toys out of the cot when as soon as you start to lag those indexes, you tend to think something is wrong, which in fact the opposite might actually be true, because if you tend to just track the benchmark or want to track the benchmark in your own portfolio, then you might as well then just buy the index in cheaper funds or alternatives. But I think the secret recipe lies exactly in that, is that a well-diversified portfolio might actually not track a certain benchmark, or more specifically an index. And I think that's actually the whole point.
Yeah, that is the whole point. And when you look at passive investing, which has grown so much over the years since we've been speaking, Ruan, the fact is that if a stock like Nvidia goes up, then passive investment flows have to follow it, and therefore it exacerbates the move upwards, and vice versa when it comes down. Hence the sort of volatility that wouldn't be the case maybe 20, 30 years ago. But what does it mean for portfolio management, and therefore what does it mean for someone like yourself, a financial advisor at Brenthurst Wealth?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of important points to that, Lindsay, which I also point out in the article. And I think for one, the performance evaluation, is a bit more nuanced. So it becomes increasingly more difficult to judge active managers against concentrated indexes, because like I mentioned, a well-diversified portfolio will not be overly concentrated in certain aspects of the market. I think another point is that risk needs to be measured very specifically. Investors benchmark solely to the JSE Top 40 is, if they realize it or not, accepting that close to a quarter of their local equity risk sits over in one or similar exposure, and that's a conversation that you need to have before the next drawdown, because if there's a drawdown in a certain area of the market, that will take the whole portfolio down with it. So I think it comes down to aligning your goals with what you want to do with your portfolio, more than just ranking your portfolio relative to a benchmark or some ETF or some index, global index. And you've got to determine why do you build your portfolio the way you did, and what's the objectives you want to meet at the end of the day. Is it, do you want to track a benchmark or an index, or do you want to have proper, healthy, risk adjusted returns and be able to have some downside protection when the markets do go down, because that will happen, and it will happen again in the future.
There are some people, of course, some cynics that would say, a typical conversation might be, I'm a passive investor and look at my returns over the last 6 months. You're an active investor and look at yours. You've got a diversified portfolio. I'm just going for the indices and I'm doing better. But of course, that's not always the case, is it? I mean, diversification at the end of the day over the long term surely beats just going for benchmarks, I would have thought.
No, 100%. At least that's my humble opinion, Lindsay. And I think that's exactly what I was referring to earlier, is that, if you're really happy to sit on your hands and wait, and you've got a lot of cash to allocate to the markets, then, it all depends on the scenario. Then a simple index fund might work for you if you do have cash to throw at the market when there's a drawdown. But most investors, we find for practical purposes, are already fully invested, meaning that all their disposable cash on a monthly basis or total basis is already invested in the market, meaning you really got to have that important drawdown protection, because you don't really have, most investors are not cash flush to be able to throw more dry powder at the market when there is a drawdown. And that's where the diversification factor comes in, is to have that downside protection in place, so that if the market or the index you're trying to track comes down with 25-30%, which is quite normal, your portfolio is well protected against that and might only incur a drawdown half of that, or whatever the case may be. Especially, I think it becomes more important in later stages in life, where investors start to draw income from their portfolios. They have really specific mandates in place to determine where the income is derived from and what part of the portfolio is aligned to grow over the medium to longer term.
I like your final paragraph, or rather your final section of your article. It says, so are benchmarks still relevant? And then you say, yes, but in a narrower role than the industry often assigns them. And you go on to say a benchmark is a useful reference point, but it's a poor proxy for the economy. I can imagine Donald Trump, for example, standing up and saying, look at this fantastic economy. Look at the record highs we're continuing to get on the major indices. But then if you were going down Main Street in the United States of America and you interviewed someone and says, this is what the president has just said, and that person might say, but I'm poorer than I was a year ago. That is the sort of argument. Is that what you're trying to get across here? That yes, they're useful, but not as useful as people think.
100%, Lindsay. And I think that's one of the most important points that you just raised. And I think there's a very important clarification to be made there, is that the markets is not the economy. And so the benchmark or the index doesn't really reflect what's actually going on in the economy. Yes, that obviously links to both of them, but more importantly is that what's going on the ground level in terms of job losses or inflation is not necessarily what's always directly reflected in the stock market or in the global indices. And I think that's where it's really important to have that right diversification, because at some stage, the markets will reflect what's going on in the economy, and then you might be in for a bit of a tough time if your sole objective is to just try and track the index or the benchmark.
Okay, so I'm a client of yours, and I phone you up and say, okay, Ruan, haven't spoken to you for a couple of months. Are we beating the index? What would you say back to me?
Yeah, I think it's, like I said, I think it's a pretty simple conversation to be had. I think it comes down to, you know, revisit the reason of the portfolio allocation. What was the objectives at the onset of the portfolio? How's things changed in the markets, and also in terms of the client's personal affairs, and are those still aligned? Does the portfolio allocation or asset allocation still speak towards the client's objectives and income needs and capital protection needs? And if that is the case, then I don't think there's, you know, really too much to fiddle with, because you could be moving into a simple index which might coincidentally have done well because of one or two factors, and you incur concentration risk, and somehow the index might turn negative, and you might have lost, you know, a healthy amount of money. So I think it really, like I say, comes down to the conversation must be, does the portfolio that's constructed still speak to the client's needs and objectives? And if that's the case, I don't think there's too much room for making changes. Obviously, one has to be cost cognizant. I'm not saying you should disregard all costs and fees. Obviously, there is room for improvement, but I do think that can be still achieved whilst protecting the client's asset against just trying to beat the index.
Ruan, great chat. Thank you very much for your time. Ruan Breed is a financial advisor at Brenthurst Wealth in Stellenbosch in the Western Cape. And that was It's My Money. It's My Money was brought to you by Brenthurst Wealth, an award-winning boutique wealth management company.